Any? Okay. So those are the giving out pages. There's a few mitonanim. Okay. This is, I think, the 12th year that we've been together on Tisha B'Av here in the Beit HaMidrash. In this format. And every year, Bezrat Hashem, we hope that this will be the last year that we'll be in this format at least. Maybe a little bit of our introspection in the subject that we're going to study in the next hour or so, hour and a half, will enable us to move forward in our commemoration of the destruction, and Bezrat Hashem propel us forward to what Tisha B'Av should be like. This year we had a little bit of a taste, because on Tisha B'Av we ate meat and drank wine, and we wore nice clothing, because this week, Baruch Hashem, Tisha B'Av was Shabbat. Today we're on Yud B'Av. Usually at this time on a regular year, we're just about thinking about maybe starting to cook the meat because it's almost Chatzot. This year we're still fasting. Interesting transposition between Shabbat and Tisha B'Av. But the theme of this year's study here in Pardes is introspection, is Cheshbon Nefesh. It's very important because the keynote that we just spent a lot of the morning reading, Eicha, that we read last night, some of it has the minhag to read at home today as well, is not only that we should cry, not only that we should be sad and we should mourn, but that we should introspect, that we should think, why are we in this situation? The word Eicha, the Chazal tell us, has two translations, either Alalayli, either Oy Vavoy, how terrible, or Eicha Ech, how did you get to that situation, i.e., what is the background to the mourning that we are in the midst of? And we're going to look a little bit at the background today. On your sheet, hopefully you'll have now, on the first page, Al Har Gavoa, pasuk that we've seen many in the times in the past 12 or so years. Al Har Gavoa, Alilach, Mevaseret Zion. Harimi bekoach kolech mevaseret Yerushalayim, harimi al tirai imri le'arei Yehuda, hinei Eloheichem. Zion is the mevaseret. We have a shchuna near Yerushalayim now, mevaseret Zion. Zion who brings good news, a mevaseret. Kol mevaser, mevaser me'omer, we will say, on Hoshana Rabba. Mevaser is the tidings, the news that will come, that the good has arrived. Al Har Gavoa Alilach Mevaseret Zion. Zion, who brings good news, go up onto the high mountain, onto Yerushalayim. Harimi Bekoach Kolech Mevaseret Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim that brings good news. Lift up your voice with strength. Imri la'arei Yehuda, lift it up, don't be afraid. Al tirai, imri la'arei Yehuda, say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. And so we find that the word mevaseret, mevaser, the tidings is mentioned twice in this verse. There are two beings that bring tidings, Zion and Yerushalayim. But the tidings appear in another verse in Yeshayahu, just a few chapters later, 12 chapters later. We also have the tidings. Manavu al harim raglei mevaser, mashmia shalom mevaser tov, mashmia Yeshua omer leZion mele malach Elohaich. Kol tzofayich nasu kol yachdav yeraneinu ki ayin ba'ayin iru Hashem b'shuv Hashem Zion. Manavu al harim, how beautiful on the mountains. Raglei mevaser, the feet of he who bears tidings, who brings good news. Mashmiya shalom, who pronounces peace. Mevaser tov, who brings news of good. Mashmiya yeshua, who pronounces a salvation. Omer letzion, malach Elohaich, who tells Zion, your God has reigned. Kol tzofayich nasu kol yachdav yeraneinu, your watchmen shall lift up their voice. With a voice together they'll sing, for ayin ba'ayin yiru, they will see eye to eye, yiru b'shuv Hashem tzion, when God comes back to Tzion. Again, we have in the voice two wise mevaser. In the first verse in chapter 40 that we will read this Shabbat, this coming Shabbat, Bezrat Hashem in the Haftarah, we read twice of the Mevaseret. Twice we have the tidings of good news. But in this verse, we also read as one of the Haftarot later in this year, we hear again Mevaseo twice, as though the tidings have to come again. But here we see a difference between the Mevaseret and the Mevaser. The Mevaseret, the female. No, not good. Okay. I should shout more or less? Less. The Mevaser. It says, Harimi bekoach kolech. The Mevaseret, the female bringer of tidings, as opposed to the Mevaser, the male bringer of tidings. I'm not going to spend too much thinking about the difference, but you'll think about it. And when Yeshayahu uses such an expression, mevaser, mevaseret, it's not just by chance. He thought, oh, it's a good idea, so let's write it again. Mevaser, mevaseret, oh, that's cool. But he has a reason to write again. There's an idea why we need to be comforted again. And we've spoken about comforted twice before. But I want to take time this year to look at the psukim. Let's go back to basics. Let's just look mamash kepshuto at the story from the Tanakh. Because what do we know of the destruction? What do we know of Yeshayahu's comfort? We know it from the Haftarot. We know it from the Tanakh that we read. But to go back for a moment to look at the source mamash, not Eicha, which is the end of the story, not Chazon Yeshayah, which is the end of the story, but to go back to the beginning. What is Chazon Yeshayah about? We just had this Shabbat, an amazing experience, that on Tisha B'Av we read Chazon Yeshayah. Usually we read it the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av. This year, Tisha B'Av and the Shabbat before were the same day. And so on Tisha B'Av we read Chazon Yeshayah. I wanted to take out 5 minutes to between you look at the next source, which is Chazon Yeshayah, just to read it through. What is Yeshayahu referring to? What is he talking about? Okay, so take out 5 minutes. You're going to read in your Chavruta, the next source. You have the Hebrew and the English on the same page. The English goes a little bit to the end. This is the beginning of the Nevuah of Yeshayahu. Okay, take out 5 minutes. We're going to say, what is he talking about? There should be now a buzz of Limud Torah that's permitted on Tisha B'Av. A little bit more subdued than the rest of the year, but b'chol ofen, a buzz. מה מדבר? Okay. Okay, תודה רבה, יישר כוח. Someone want to suggest what bothers Yeshayahu? Remember those books, What's Bothering Rashi? What's bothering Yeshayahu? What's his problem? Chazon Yeshayahu. That's what we read this Shabbat. Shabbat Chazon, we recognize that this is the nevuah of disaster, of gloom. What bothers Yeshayahu? Someone to say? Someone has it, a guess? Yes. There's a discord or dissonance between people's connection with God and their behavior. Okay, what else? You want to say something else? The praying doesn't help. Okay. Okay. Yes. Okay. Okay. As used to say, back in the good country, they ain't behaving properly. Remember that? In this camp, right? Yeah. Okay, so we all think social justice. I mean, every Rav got up this Shabbat and gave a drasha about social justice. Nachon, Yeshayahu, social justice. Agav, it's not 100% true. Who's a Navi of social justice is not Yeshayahu, but Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu is a Navi of social justice, not Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu is someone else's problem. Let's look to understand Bemed, the omek of what's going on here, the depths of what's going on. The Pasuk opens up with a very interesting reference. Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz, asher chaza al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. The Navi, the prophecy, the vision, the chazon. Many prophets open with the word chazon. This Shabbat is Shabbat chazon because chazon Yeshayahu is the chazon, the vision. Asher chaza al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, that he had a prophecy about Yehuda and Yerushalayim. B'yemei Uziyahu Yotam Achaz Yechizkiyahu Malchei Yehuda. And all of the translations, all the commentators explained that that's not Yechizkiyahu, but another king who we know by the name of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Yeshayahu is in the prophesying at a time of four kings, but the most important of them for our purposes today is Chizkiyah. He's talking about Arei Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. Let's go back 1 second to the first source. It's still Yeshayahu. Al har gavoh lilach mevaseret Zion, ari mebekoach kolech mevaseret Yerushalayim, al tirai emri la'arei Yehuda. Again, Yehuda and Yerushalayim. There's somehow a connection. He cross-references himself, Yeshayahu, from the first chapter to chapter 40. And then again to chapter 52. Between the mevaseret and the mevaser, we have to understand that. What does he say? Shimu shamayim vazinu eretz, ki Hashem diber. Banim gidalti veromamti, vehem pashubi. And without the tune, you can't understand the words. I hear Yeshayahu sitting there in Yerushalayim, on the floor, looking around and saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a people, a children. And what do? Hear heavens and listen earth, for God has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. So the first thing is the rebellion. I'm not talking about social injustice yet. A rebellion against God. Kipshuto kemashmao. Yada sho koneo v'chamo afus ba'alav. Yisrael lo yada, ami lo itbonan. The ox knows its owner. The ox comes in the morning, it comes and it assumes there's going to be food. And the donkey comes to where there's food. But my people don't know. What do they not know? What's the mashal? The donkey has a master. It knows that the food, its sustenance, comes from the master. I guess, therefore, the donkey wants to make sure the master's happy. If the master's not happy, the donkey don't get no food. So therefore, we would think the same. Where does our sustenance come from? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have to have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not more than that. A consciousness to understand that our sustenance, our health, our happiness, our food, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avi, Bani lo yada. They don't know. They don't understand that. They're not conscious of that. Why? Hoy goy chote am keved avon zera mereim banim mashchitim azvu et Hashem niatzu et kadosh Yisrael nazor achor. O sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupt. Here we have a corrupt, so there we are, corrupt. We put it in there. Here's social injustice. It's not so pashut, that's what he means. They have left God. They have provoked the Holy One to anger. They have gone backward. Almatuku od tosifu sara kol rosh lecholi v'chol levav davai. Why should you hit anymore? You revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. Alma mikaf reged v'arosh. The whole body is sick from the sole to the foot to the head. Ein bo metim. There's no soundness. Matza b'chabura u'makat tria lozor v'lo chubashu v'lo chaka b'shamen. And they can't be treated. There's no ointment. There's no treatment for their problem. Why? Here comes an interesting verse. We have to remember this because we're going to come back to this. V'notra bat zion kesuka bakarem kemeluna kemikshar ir netzura. What had happened? Your country is desolate, and the daughter of Sion is left like a booth in a vineyard, a lodge in a garden of cucumbers. It's besieged city. What's the mashal? What's the image? We're going to come to the mashal in a moment. What's the image? You have, anybody knows, you go to the vineyard, you have to have someone looks after the vineyard. So the person in the vineyard he builds a little booth, a little sukkah. So if we go to the vineyard, what do we see? We see nothing apart from one person living there. It's like you drive, in the Midwest, and there's some Midwesterns here. So you drive in the Midwest, you can drive for like 2 hours, you see nothing, and suddenly there's like one house. That's kesuka mimluna. Like there's one house suddenly here, everything around it is gone. Now you drive and you see suddenly like a huge Walmart, right? So then you can there's no one around, as it continues, like another 5 hours driving, there's another huge Walmart. So that's kesuka mimluna. That's what Am Yisrael survived like. What does that mean? We're gonna understand this, and as we learn, we're going to have an understanding of this haftarah that we never had before. Artzechem shamema, shim'u devar Hashem ketzinei stom. Sorry, nulei Hashem tzvaot otir lanu sarid, kimal kestom ayinu kamorad daminu. That's a beautiful image. Were it not for the God of hosts who left us in the very small remnant, a she'erit pleita, we would have been like stom and would have been like amora, like gomorrah. What can you tell me about stom and amora? What's the image there? What do we know about them? Completely and utterly destroyed. We would have been, were it not for God, we would have been completely and utterly destroyed. Now look what happens to Yeshayahu. Shim'u devar Hashem ketzinei stom, hazinu torat elokeinu am amora. Who's that referring to? Hear the word of God, you rulers of stom. Listen to the law of our God, people of Gemara. Who's he talking about? Stom and Gemara have been destroyed. Who's he talking about? The Jewish people here, he calls them Stom v'Amora. What else do you know about Stom v'Amora? Apart from that it was destroyed. What else? What do we know about it? Corruption. In what way? right? There's no proper justice system. There's no right. So that's what we know about Sodom and Gomorrah. That's how Yishael turns to the Jewish people. Can you imagine? The chief rabbi would get up tomorrow and say, "You are Nazis." And you would say, "My gosh, how can you say such a thing?" Yishael recorded, and we read it every year, turns to the Jewish people and say, "You are Sodom and Gomorrah. You will be like, were it not for God, we would have been like them, destroyed. But your behavior is like them. Therefore, you are worthy of the name Sodom and Gomorrah. Lama li'ov zivreichem, yomar Hashem. Savati olot elim v'cher miyim v'dam parim v'kvesarim v'tudim lo chafatzti. Says God, why do I need your sacrifices? I'm full of them. I've had it. I don't want them anymore. Ki lo tavo lirot panai mi bikesh zot michem ramos chatzerai. When you come to see my face, who asked you for this? To trample my courtyard. Lo tosifu avim minchat shav. I don't want any more vain sacrifices. It's an abomination to me. The new moons and Shabbat, you gather together. I can't stand it. It's sinful. I don't want it anymore. What's God saying? Nothing to do with social justice, which is what we thought it was about. It's about how do you work in the Beit HaMikdash? How do you serve in the temple? That's what Yeshaya was speaking about. And he continues and says, Devar Nifla. Chodshechem u'moadechem sana nafshi hayu alai letoach nil'eiti naso. Your new moons and your festival my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I'm weary to bear them. What does it mean, your festivals? What does that mean, your festivals? Yeah. Oh, nifla. They're not my festivals anymore. They're your festivals. Agav, in bracket, parentheses, one of them, if Hashem explains, your festivals means things that you made up. You made up new festivals. I don't know, birthday. You know, made up like a new festival. But I think you're right. That what it literally means, I am not part of the picture. Remember that book, Putting God Back into the Bar Mitzvah? Remember that book was like 30, 40 years old? So, right. Put God on your list. Oh, beautiful. Putting God back on your guest list. I.e., we're having celebrations which are devoid of God, devoid of connection with God. They might even have a Jewish content. We might even make a blessing. We might even be some, but where's God in the story? I was this last week in New York, and they asked me to come make a siyum. So we can, you know, people want to eat meat. You don't have to go a whole week without eating meat. So I made a siyum, Masechet Yevamot. 200 people came. I think if I made a siyum tomorrow, nobody will come. 200 people came. Then they told me, every night there's two or three siyumim. This guy's doing a siyum. This company, this organization, this other, there's a ton of siyumim. So we go to rent. Halachically, but it ends up that nobody actually doesn't eat meat during those days because we're always making siyumim. You know, there's a minhag not to take a shower during the 9 days. So the joke is, they find a guy in the shower, we're learning a masechet. So they say, what's going on? He said, I'm making a siyum. That's your festivals. When you can keep it, it has Jewish content, b'mecha'ot. You make a bracha, but it's devoid of godliness. That's already, says God, not mine. Zeh shelachem. They brought sacrifices. Doesn't say they still bring sacrifices. That doesn't say anywhere. They brought sacrifices. But they brought them for their own good, not for God. How did he get to that? We're going to see in a moment. We're going to see where this all comes from. What's Yishael's problem? We have to see later on. Yes. Oh. Gam yafe. Well, we know the sacrifices also depends on your intention. Right? We have that, halacha. Okay. Let's continue the end of Yeshayahu, and then we're going to look at the next source, and we'll start understanding what's going on. Alim mikem gam ki tarbu tfila eneni shomer yedeichem damim maleu. Even when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. When you pray a lot, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. You've got to be correct, as we said before.
רחצו, הזקו, הסירו מעליכם, מנגד עיניי חידלו הרע. לימדו היטב, דרשו משפט, אשרו חמוץ, שפטו יתום, ריבו אלמנה.
Now comes social justice. Wash, purify, remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed, judge the orphan, flee for the widow. So that's the end. But I think it comes from somewhere else. I think Yeshayahu's problem is not you're not the most socially just people. That's Yirmiyahu. Yeshayahu has a different problem. Who was Yeshayahu's contemporary we just learned? Chizkiyah. Let's understand a little bit about Chizkiyah. We're going to look at his verses. So let's look at Chizkiyah. On the second page. וב-14 שנה למלך חזקיה עלה סנחריב מלך אשור על כל ערי יהודה הבצורות ויתפסם. And on the 14th year of King Chizkiyahu, Sanherib, the king of Ashur of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. Let's read that again. In the 14th year, Sanherib overcame every single one of the cities of Judah. Judah is half of Israel. Not there was one place that there was a terrorist attack. In every single city in Judah was now not Jewish, it was now Assyrian. And in fact, the verse says even more than that. They were fortified cities. I.e., can you imagine the non-fortified cities, what they were like? The cities that had a wall around them, that were impenetrable, that was no question that they were going to stand any attack. Sanherib, the king of Ashur, overtakes every single one of them. So let's go back to the reign of Chizkiyah. We're all now in Yerushalayim, in the reign of Chizkiyah. And we're listening to the radio. Or we're watching the email. Or we're watching TV. Or we're reading the paper. What do we read every single day? This city fell, this city fell, this city fell, this city fell. And what do we see? We've already got a map in the kitchen, stuck to the refrigerator. And we're marking it off. And what are we seeing every day? It's getting closer and closer and closer. It's going to come to us. That's what it means. That's in that one verse. That means that all the people in Yerushalayim see that Yehuda is slowly, slowly falling, and it's going to get to Yerushalayim. That's the next place. Vayishlach Chizkiyah, Melech Yehuda el Melech Ashur Lachisha. Lemor, what is it now? What is Chizkiyah going to be his reaction? Chizkiyah sends to the king of Ashur, to Lachish, saying to him, what is he going to say? Listen to his reaction. He could say, I'm going to go to fight. He could say, we'll make a pact. He could say, what does he say? Chatati. Shuv me'alai et asher titein alai esa v'yasem melech Ashur, Chizkiyah, melech Yehuda, 300 kikar kesev v'shloshim kikar zahav. And Chizkiyah sent to the king of Assyria to say, I have sinned. Ani lo beseder. I'm sinned. Leave me, please. This is the king of Yerushalayim. This is not just a guy. This is the head of the Melucha. He represents where the Beit HaMikdash is. He represents where the center of the Jewish people. Maybe you can leave me alone. And the king of Assyria placed on Chizkiyah, king of Judah, I can leave you alone, but you have to pay. How much are you going to have to pay? 300 blocks of silver and 30 blocks of gold. That sounds like a lot of money, right? You're going to have to, you want me to not attack you? You can pay your way to redeem your attack, and So what does Chizkiyahu do? Let's see inside. Chizkiyahu should say, you crazy? We're going to go to war. You crazy? We're going to fight you. Vayiten Chizkiyahu et kol akesev. Where does he get the money from? Hanimsa bet Hashem. Ubootzrot bet Hamelech. And Chizkiyahu goes into the treasure house of the king and empties it out. This is the exchequer for the whole country. It doesn't his own personal bank account. He empties out the money from the entire city. But then he does more than that. He goes to the temple and he takes from the kitty of the temple. He takes from the vessels there, and it's not enough because he doesn't still has enough money. So what does he do? Beitahi kitzetz Chizkiyahu et latot eichal Hashem. He cuts off the doors of the temple to pay for them, that he shouldn't be attacked by the king of Assyria. Ve'eta omanot asher tzipa Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda v'etnem lemelech Ashur. At that time, Chizkiyahu cut the gold from the doors of the God's temple and from the doorpost which Chizkiyahu, king of Yehuda, had laid, and he gave it to the king of Assyria. What's going on here? Chizkiyahu, to redeem himself, gives up on the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash at that point ceases to be house of God, it says here, God's temple, and becomes a supplier of cash. A lot of gold there. Now we start to understand why God doesn't want the sacrifices. Now we understand that for Chizkiyahu, the Beit HaMikdash has ceased to be the house of God. No, you're not happy? What? He's saving. It's a Shela. Oh. Oh. Yeah, top. Shela? Shela? Yeah. Oh. But the Sefer Torah that you sold to a collector in, I don't know, Argentina, is it still become a Sefer Torah, or has it now become a collector's item? Shela. He takes the gold off the temple. So we can argue halachically, did it right or did he do wrong? But that's the reality. All right. What do you say? God agreed to him or disagreed? So you will say God agreed. Maybe God will say kol hakavod. Let's see what happens. Yes. Niflad. We're going to come back to that. You heard that? He goes to the king of Syria. He doesn't say, turn to God and say, God, save us. Let's see what happens even later. Let's continue. The king of Assyria is not so happy with the whole deal. Vayhi kishmo ha-melech Chizkiyahu. Vayikra et begadav. Vayikas sak. Vayavo beit Hashem. And when Chizkiyahu heard that the king of Assyria is not agreeing to his terms, he covered himself with sackcloth, and he went to the house of God. So he does go to the house of God. Maybe it's not so pashut. Vayishlach et Eliakim asher al habayit veshavnei hasofer vetzikenei hakohanim mitkasim besakim Elishiyahu hanavi men amutz. But he goes to the temple of king, not the temple of God, not to pray. What does he go? To take the kohanim and to get them to do a message, a mission for him. And he sent Eliakim, who was in charge of the household, in charge of the Beit HaMikdash, and Shabned the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Yeshayahu, the prophet of the son of Amoz. And what are they going to do there? V'yomu elav koh amar Chizkiyahu, yom tzara v'tocha v'natza, hayom hazeh, ki ba'u banim ad mashbeh v'koh ein laleida. This is, and he said to him, go to Yeshayahu and say, thus says Chizkiyahu, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of contempt for the children that came to birth, and there's no strength to give birth. We came back home and there's no strength. We're being attacked from outside. We have no hope. So he does go and pray. Actually, very interesting. What does he not do? What would be much, much more simple that Chizkiyahu could have done? What? He could have made a sacrifice. He could have prayed. What else? He wants Yeshayahu to pray. What could he have done? Why didn't he just go to Yeshayahu himself? So we already know, because we studied it before in previous years, that Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu don't speak to each other. It's a bit of a problem. So he uses the Kohanim to go to him. So he has a little bit of an strange understanding of how to pray, but he still employs the servants of God to do his will. Okay, so it's not so bad as we thought to begin with. Now, Vayitpalel Chizkiyahu lifnei Hashem. Vayomer Hashem, Vayomar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Yoshev Akuvim, Atahu Elohim Levadecha, Lekol Mamlechot Haaretz, Atah Asit Et Hashamayim Ve'et Haaretz. And he prays before God and says to him, God, the God of Israel, who sits on the cherubs. It's kind of interesting that we don't use that term. I don't think it's used anywhere else in the Tanakh apart from here. Yosheva lekuvim. We don't really use that expression so much. Atau Elohim, you are the God of all the kingdoms of earth. You made heaven and earth. And you have to save me. Vayishlach Yeshayahu el Chizkiyahu lemo. Ko amar Hashem Elohei Yisrael. Asher hitpalalta elai el Sanheriv melech Ashur shamati. And says Yeshayahu, the son of Amoz, to Chizkiyah, thus says God, the God of Israel, because you prayed to me against Sanheriv, I heard you. So we thought, if we hadn't got to that the problem was that the Chizkiyah had given up on the Mikdash. No, it's not true. Akol beseder. God listened to your prayer. He does pray. Oh, he doesn't pray. He did pray. He doesn't get Yeshayahu. He does speak to Yeshayahu. Akol beseder. And Yeshayahu says to him, it's okay. God's listened to your cry. You're going to be saved. So what's the problem? Vayehi balayla hahu. And it was that very night. Well, as you see, as a few pasukim went through, that was pasuk 20. Now on pasuk 35, but essentially that night. Vayetze malach Hashem vayach b'machane Ashur 185,000 v'yashkimu b'boke v'nei kulam pegarim meitim. Wow. And it came to pass that night that the angel of God went out and hit the camp of the Assyrians, 805,000. Well, 5,800 is what it means, right? And when the men arose early in the morning, they were all dead corpses. If they were all dead corpses, how did they arise? Said Afar. Doesn't mean that they raise up. Who rose up? Chizkiyah. Chizkiyah is there. He's quaking. Sanheriv, Melech Ashur, and the Assyrian army are on the borders of Yerushalayim. He's the last hope. He pays off and they don't accept it. He takes the doors of the Mikdash and they don't accept it. He turns to Yeshayahu. Doesn't help. He himself prays. Yeshayahu said, oh, Nifla, you prayed, God will listen to you. And that very night, the angel smites the army of Sanheriv. Boom. And not only they all die, but enough die that they're now not able to continue. There was a similar case of this in the Second World War here in Yerushalayim, Al-Amen. The Rommel almost came into Israel. And the night before they came to Israel, they had a stomach virus. And all the soldiers were ill. And they had to turn back and they didn't come in. So Mamash, we have Mamash almost, we take our history. Tanakh, Kimad, the same thing happens. Amazing, amazing miracle. So now you're going to tell me, what's going to be the next verse? You tell me what's going to be the next verse. Tantagidli. What should happen? Chizkiyahu goes round, v'yatza midato, and it's wonderful, and it's nifla, and it's... Take 2 minutes to read the next source. It's not the next verse, but it's the next source in which Yeshayahu references this same evening. Read it together, take out 2 minutes, and we're going to see what happened. Okay. What happened? Yeah. Nifla. Why don't we bring the verses from Kings that told how Hizkiyahu prayed to God and thanked him? Why don't we bring those verses? A little bit of a problem. Those verses don't exist. En kaza davar. We would assume that the next thing would happen is Hizkiyahu would see what an incredible miracle, and he would have sat down and said to God, thank you so much. He would have brought a sacrifice. He would have been there. He would have said, amazing, this is incredible. And he would have given, and he would have rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash. And blah, 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 blah. And says Yeshayahu, you know what happened? V'yigal et masach Yehuda v'tabet b'yomahu el neshek beit ha'ya'ar v'et b'ki'ei ir David re'item ki rabu v'tikapsu et mei ha'brecha ha'tachtona v'et b'tei Yerushalayim sefartem v'titzfu ha'batim levatzer ha'choma ומקווה עשיתם בין החומותיים למי הבריכה הישנה. And he discovered the covering of Judah and looked that day to the armor, the house of the forest. He wanted to make sure that assured that Assyria hadn't taken any of their armaments. And then they looked at the breaches of the city of David. They've been in a siege situation for a long time. They want to make sure that their holes in the walls can be patched up. And there are many. And you gather together the waters of the lower pool. They need to have water. Remember, one of the great things is there's no water. That's Brachot Yechizkiah, which later become Me'a Shiloach, that we, not so far from here, that you can go and visit them. That's the pool of Chizkiah, is during the siege. They needed to have water. So they fill up the water again. And you counter the houses of Jerusalem. Houses means either the physical houses, but also the people, the batim, the batei melacha. How many people are there? And you've broken down the houses to fortify the wall. They needed materials, so they broke down houses to fortify the wall. Hezekiah was obviously good at this, like breaking from one place to bring to another place. It was also like a big thing for him. But in order to fortify, you made a ditch between the two walls for the water of the old pool. You fortified everything. You were overcome in this war. You almost lost. Baruch Hashem, you did not. And you spent these following time fortifying yourself, regrouping. But what did you not do? Oh. Velo hibatetem eloseha veyotzra mirachok lo reitem. It's a beautiful expression. But you have not looked to its maker and creator from afar. You did not see. What could you see? What's close. What's far, couldn't see. Too far for you. You could see today. What do we need today? We have immediate need. We have water. We need to have water. We bring water. We need to have arms. We bring arms. What could you not see? You can't see what's going on beyond your Dalet Amot. What's going on from afar, that you didn't see, that you didn't notice. So you looked only to here, to the end of your nose, but you couldn't actually see what actually just happened. Vayikra Adonai, Adonai Tzevaot, Bayom Ahu, לפחי ולמספד ולחגור ולכוחה ולחגור סק. And on that day, God, the God of hosts, called to weep and to mourn and to boldness, to cut yourselves, and to gird with sackcloth. והנה ששון ושמחה הרוג בקעו ושחוט צאן אכול בשר ושתו יין אכול ושתו כי מחר נמות. But what did you say? And here is joy and gladness. Look what's going on in Yerushalayim. People are having a barbecue. People are having a fress up. Saying, slaying ox and killing them, killing sheep and eating meat and drinking wine. And let us, why do you say? We'll eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. The Spartan call. The call of Sparta, eat and drink for tomorrow we die, was originally said by Yeshayahu. It's actually even before that. Eat, drink for tomorrow we die, i.e., there's no tomorrow. Eat, drink, tomorrow we die means there's no tomorrow. You can't see in the future. You don't look with long term. You look to the short term. And what's therefore going to happen? God said, this is a day for fasting. This is a day for recognition of God's incredible miracle. You guys just had a party. What did we say before? Chagechem sana alai nafshi. Your celebrations.
V'nigla bo'oznai Hashem sevaot im yechupar ha'avon hazeh lechem im temut ad temutun amar Adonai Adonai tsevaot.
And it was revealed in my ears by the God of hosts, this sin shall not be forgiven from you until you die, says God. That is the sin that Yeshayahu speaks about in the first parak that we read yesterday in the Bet Knesset as part of the Haftarah. Let's just go back to it for a moment. Let's look back at it. Now we understand what's going on. What does Yeshayahu say? It's during the time of Chizkiah. What's the problem? The problem isn't that God doesn't do miracles. The problem is when God does miracles, you don't notice them. Dodabaya. Let's read it. Now we mamash understand what's going on here.
Shimu shamayim vazina aretz, ki Hashem diber. Banim gedalte v'omamti v'hem pashubi.
Now I mamash understand. Hear heavens, listen earth, for God has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children. If they've rebelled against me. What does it mean they rebelled against me? What is a rebellion? Doesn't mean they didn't follow my word. It means they didn't notice me. They might have been putting on tefillin. They might have been learning daf yomi. They might have been eating kosher. But it didn't have nothing to do with God. When God came down and revealed himself to them, you're fair. They didn't even notice it.
And that's what he says. The ox knows its owner. The donkey's master's crib. But Israel didn't know. My people didn't consider.
What happened? When a miracle happened to you, you said it was mikre. It was by chance. The Hasidim say mikre means rak mi Hashem. It's only from God. There's no mikre. There's no just happens. The donkey realizes that if every morning somebody puts food in the crib here, kanere, there's somebody behind it. You didn't notice that? Yes.
We rely too much on Torah and not on God.
You know, they say, us Litvaks, we worship the Shulchan Aruch sometimes more than we worship God. No. Oh, so the Midrash says, because there, Hazin HaShemayim was Moshe Rabbeinu, who was closer to the heavens, and Yeshayahu was closer to the land. So we can understand that in a metaphysical sense, even in a Pshat Ken, he's talking to the people. That's talking to God, almost. All right, let's continue. O sinful nation, O people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children of the corruptors, you have left God. They have provoked the early one to anger. They have gone backwards. Why should you hit anymore? You will revolt more and more. The head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and sores. You have not been bound. There's no treatment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burnt with fire. Remember, Assyria overcame the whole country. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence, and is desolate, overthrown by strangers. Mamash, the pshat of what's going on. And the daughter of Sion is left as a booth in the vineyard. What's left of all of this area? There's nothing north and nothing south, because that's been taken over by Assyria. What's left, the only city that you can see, is Yerushalayim. It's like a booth in the vineyard. It's a sukkah. And that word sukkah, we find again and again in Tanakh, means a place where you're connected to God. When Yaakov escapes from Esav, where does he go? He goes to Sukkot. When the Jewish people come out of Egypt, where do they go? They go to Sukkot. Which Navi builds a sukkah, you remember? Yonah, Nifla. Yonah builds a sukkah when? When he leaves Nineveh. When he leaves Nineveh, he goes to God. The sukkah is the place where we connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, you're like a sukkah. You had this opportunity to see God. And what did you do? You didn't see it. You missed it. You were kasukkah. Here you're left. You see it right in front of you, this incredible miracle of El Alamein, the incredible miracle of Ashur. And the next day, you just go and check out what's going on in the storehouse. Yeah. So that's a good question. Maybe the idea was that once the king says it, they all told a line, apart from one crazy guy called Yeshayahu. He's the only Meshuggah guy who says that. What is going on here? What's going on? Right? And he's always, you know, the Nevi'im was a little crazy. We're not for the God of hosts. Now we understand mamash these words. Who left us a very small man that we have been a Stoma Amora. We would have been Stoma Amora. We would have been destroyed. That's what Sanherib wanted to do. And you who don't listen, you are now like Stoma Amora. I don't need your sacrifices. I don't need your empty promises. I don't need your prayers. I need you to connect with me. I need you to see me. If I don't see you in sacrifices, where do I see you? In everyday life. I need you to see me on the battlefield. I need you to see me in the politics. I need you to see me in the storehouse. I need to understand, like the donkey understands, that his food comes from the giver, the master, that your food, that your bank account comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On an individual level, brother said, but also on a national level, even more so on a national level. Wow. So now we understand Yeshayahu's grievance. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. It's going to fast forward 1,000 or so years to Rabbi Yehuda Levi. Rabbi Yehuda Levi on page 3 you don't remember the story. It's the king of the Kuzaris. Sefer Kozarim, the singer of the Kazars, comes to the Chacham and says to him, tell me about Judaism. And then at one point, the king of the Kozaris comes to the Chacham, Rabbi Yehuda Levi's sort of alter ego, and says to him, tell me, I read in the Torah this thing about going to Israel. How come you're still here in Spain? Makara. Listen to what Rabbi Yehuda Levi answers him. Chovashtani Melech Kozar. You have embarrassed me. Not because you did a bad thing, because you've shown up my fault. V'ha'avon hazeh hu asher mananu me'ashlamat ma she'adanu bo Elohim bebayit sheni, kemo she'ne'emar, roni v'simchi bat Zion. And this sin that we have prevented being complete in that which God has assigned to us in the second temple, as it says, rejoice and be happy, daughter of Zion. Ki kvar haya ha'inyan Elohim muzuman lachul ka'asher batchila. For the divine idea was ready. In the second temple period, we didn't have a complete redemption. We didn't have a complete temple. There were 5 things that were missing. One of them was Urim and Thummim. There was no Kruvim. There was no Aron. There were things that were missing that were very essential. It was already. It could have happened. There was a second temple, a second complete redemption waiting to happen. Ilu hayu maskimim kulam lashuv benefesh chafetza. It would have happened if everyone would agree to a return with a full intent. Aval, however, Shavu miksatam v'nisharu rubam u'gdolehem be'bavel. But some returned, but most remained, and the most important, the gdolim, were still in Babylon. Ratzim begalut u'bavada. They wanted to be in exile. They didn't want to leave their affairs. Shelo yifradu mimashkenotahem b'nineihem. They wouldn't want to leave their places and their affairs, their nice big houses. They want to leave. You want to come to Israel? A friend of mine said, when he was a kid, his father said, you know, the Mashiach is going to come. We're going to go to Israel. So he was a kid. He asked his father a very simple question. When the Mashiach comes, can I take my aquarium with me? So he understood from his father. His father didn't want to say no. But he sort of gave him an answer. They understood the answer was no. So he said, if that's the case, I don't want the Mashiach to come. I have to leave my aquarium? That's what the Rabbi Yehuda Levi says. They didn't want to leave their aquarium. They didn't want to leave their place. They didn't want to leave their jobs. They didn't want to leave their opportunities there. V'shem al ze amal Shlomo ani yeshena v'libi er. Pasuk from Shir HaShirim. I am asleep, but my heart is awake. Kina hagalut b'sheina. He called exiles sleeping. V'halev er. Hatmadat anevuah b'neihem, and the persistence of prophecy was like the heart that's awake. There was still prophecy. Still people telling him to come back and come back. Shena. It's used also in the Gemara by Chone HaMa'agel. He also uses Shena. Hayinu kecholmim. We were like dreamers. He uses to mean when we went into the Galut. When we went out into exile, we were like asleep. Kol dodi dofek. What's the voice of my beloved is knocking? Everybody should know the article by Rav Soloveitchik, Kol dodi dofek, in which he discusses these verses in a very similar vein. Kiryat Elohim lashuv, God's call to come back. Sherosho roshi nimlatal, my head is filled with dew. What's the filled with dew? Al hashchina, sheyatzla misilei akod amigdash. That's the divine presence that's left the temple. Umashemar pashadati et ktunati. These are the verses from Shir Shirim, and it says, "I remove my garment." What does that mean? Alatzlutam lashuv. They were lazy to come back. Remember the story, the beloved knocks. And the Raya is in bed. She's already taken off her clothing. She's in pajamas. I don't have the koch to get up and dress anymore. By the time she gets up, the beloved's already left. That's a mashal. For God gives us opportunities. We have to use them. Dodi shalach yado minacho. So he sent his finger into the hole, into the, like he put his finger through the keyhole. Who that's speaking about? Al Ezra, Shaya Potzer Bahem Nechemya Veneviim. That was Ezra who pleaded with them, Nechemya and the prophets. Ad Shehoduk Satam Lashuv, until some of them agreed to return. A partial agreement. Oda Biltik Mura, Venatan Lenkimatspun Libam. And he gave them according to their conscience. Uba when Yanim Mekutsarim Ibn Ekzuam, and it was recorded in a short film. However, Ki Inyan Elohi Eineno Chal Ala Ish Ela Kefi Shehiz Dam Nutolo. Because the divine ideal only rests on a person according to his preparation for it. I'm going to read that again. The divine ideal only falls on a person according to their preparation for it. You want to be a Navi? You've got to prepare for it. How many people in this room once had nevuah and didn't hear it? The answer is we'll never know. Because maybe we just weren't ready. We just didn't hear it. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to us and we just didn't, we thought it was our neighbors making noise. We thought it was someone playing a radio. We didn't hear God was speaking to us. You've got to be ready. So you're only going to hear it according to your preparation. Continues the Kuzari. Im ma'at, ma'at. Vim harbeh, harbeh. A little, if it's a bit, a bit. And if a lot, a lot. Ve'ilu ayinu mizdamnim likirat Elohei avotehem b'leivav shalem b'nefesh chatzam. But if we would have been ready, prepared towards our God with a complete heart and a full intent, then what would have happened? Hayinu pog'im mimenu ma shepag'u avoteinu b'mitzrayim. Then we would have encountered him as our forefathers did in Egypt. Ve'ein diburenu hishtachavu lahar kodsho, ve'hishtachavu la'adom raglav, ve'machzir shchinato le'tzion, ve'luzulat ze ela ketzitzuf hazarzir. And when we say in our prayers, bow to his holy mountain, bow to his footstool, return his presence to divine sight, they're just like the twitter of the starling. It's just a twitter. You know, we send Twitter. It's meaningless. It's nothing. It's the starling. It's the zarzir. It's the call. It means nothing. The starling sings not because it means the song, but because it's instinctive to sing. We pray to come back to Zion, not because we really mean it. We actually want to keep our aquarium. But it's in the prayer book, we say it. She'ein ananu choshvim ma she'ne'emar bezeh lezulato kasheamar melech al-kuzar. And we not think about what we're saying, as you said, the king of the Khazars, and we know the end of the story of the Khazarim. If you don't, you should read it. That the end of the story, Rabbi Yehuda Levi, his alter ego, the Chacham, comes on Aliyah, comes back to the land of Israel because he's been provoked by this king of the Khazars. What does the Khazari say here, though? The divine ideal is always there. The problem is we don't listen to it. We're not ready for it. And that's true on a personal level. You know, think how many times we're willing to cry to God when bad things happen. when the good happens. No. Remember that old joke? The guys goes to try to park in Tel Aviv. And he's praised to God and he says, God, you know, let me find a parking space. I can't find one. And then he says, okay, God, if you give me a parking space, I'll be nice to my mother. I'll stop speaking Lashon Hara. So he said, okay, now I'll keep Shabbat. I'll keep kosher. It goes in a whole list of things. Suddenly he sees a parking space. He pulls in and he says, God, it's okay. I sorted it out by myself. Stadalti. My wife said, you know, that Rav Moshe Feinstein used to complain. But that's a complaint that I think many people should have. That people always come to him to ask him, can you pray for my sick relative? They give him a name, you know, Chaim and Sarah. So he's got a list. No one ever comes to him and says, it's okay, Rabbi, the person got better. He's got a list of people. He doesn't know whether better than not because he's got for years this list. He doesn't know. I have a list. I don't know. I don't take someone off the list because he takes someone off the list. It's a bad omen. It's like getting those emails, you know, if you don't pass it on, it's a bad omen. I don't know. So people love to say when a tzara happens, we love to turn to God. But when a good thing happens, we forget to come back to God and say thank you. It's an amazing thing. You know, we have in the temple a Korban Todah. Korban Todah is a thanksgiving offering. It's made out of chametz. That's why we don't offer it on Erev Pesach. That's one an out tefillah on Erev Pesach. We don't say Mismol Shili Todah because we don't offer the Todah. Same, we don't say it during Pesach. We don't say it Erev Yom Kippur. Why don't you say Erev Yom Kippur? Nothing to do with chametz. Because we won't manage to complete it. Why not? You know how much was Korban Todah? 30 loaves of bread. 30 loaves of bread. You can't eat that between the morning and Yom Kippur. You're not going to make it. Sefer Chinuch, Blaza Levi says, why was it 30 loaves of bread? A deer, he says, an amazing thing. 30 loaves of bread, even the well-fed among us cannot finish 30 loaves of bread by themselves. So if it's 30 loaves of bread, what must you do? You have to bring other people. Says the Chinuch, that's the message. That when you come to say thank you to God, you have to do it publicly. You have to bring other people. Everybody has to know. That's where we get the makor of having a Sudat Odaya, of having a Kiddush when something good happens, of having a celebration to God. Give me 1 second. I used to live in Bet El. So one day, guy announces, next Shabbat there's going to be Sudat Odaya. There's going to be a festival, a festive meal. I want to thank God. It's going to be Sudat Odaya. It's going to be 30 loaves of bread. We're going to come. He says, and what's it for? I'm not going to tell you, you have to come. So of course, I'm not going to tell you, you have to come. Everybody, of course, turns up. Everybody wants to know what it's for. So it gets Shabbat. After Shabbat, he brings out the herring and the kugel and the bread. Everybody's eating. And we all want to know, what is the Sudat Odaya for? So he gets up and now he's got the story. Oh, okay, everybody's quiet. They got that. He says the following. He says, last Shabbat, I came back from America. I was on the plane, and the plane was a little bit delayed, and we landed just in time to get home for Shabbat, and I got home for Shabbat. And this sort of stunned silence is like, said, that's what was there. Can you imagine 200 people with herring like half in their mouth going, did I hear that right? And everyone is very upset. Sudat Odaya. I said they're fakert. The exact opposite. Maybe every single month we have to do a Sudat Hadayah, and someone has to say a miracle that happened to them that maybe as small as they just got home. I got it this morning, Baruch Hashem. I'm going to get home, Bezrat Hashem. We have healthy children, Baruch Hashem. We have children, Baruch Hashem. We can see, Baruch Hashem. That's to be ready, to be prepared to bring God into our everyday personal lives. Yeah, I cut you off. Odmat we're going to get to the state of Israel. Bidyuk anachnu megiim. Bidyuk. So that's in our personal lives. And now we could speak about a long time. How much do we see, do we find the divine, do we find the Sudat Hoda'ah in the public sense for the mundane? How much more so for the miracle? How much more so for the thing that's a little bit unusual? The thing that's not just like God here, but something happened on the way. I have to make a Bechad Gomel, have to make a special celebration, have to recognize God's word. There's a wonderful Gemara that I never, ever understood. It's actually the last source here, and then we're going to come back to the previous source, and then we'll understand everything. Baruch Hashem, everything. There'll be nothing question. And then we'll be able to daven mincha. Oh. There's a wonderful Gemara that I learned many, many times, and I never understood it until this year. Says the Gemara, last source. Bekesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasot Chizkiyahu Mashiach V'Sancheriv Gog U'Magog. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Chizkiyah the Mashiach. Now you have to have before the Mashiach Gog U'Magog. Sancheriv will be, he's a good candidate, it'll be Gog U'Magog. Nifla, it all ties up. Sancheriv will be Gog U'Magog, he overtakes Jerusalem. It says in the Mishnah in Masechet Tamid that Gog U'Magog is 12 months war. There'll be a 12-month siege. And ifla, Chizkiyahu will overtake him. He'll be Mashiach. Finished, end of history. Chizkiyahu should be the end of history. Why is he not? There's his divan nifla. Amra midat hadin lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Said, the attribute of justice, the midat adin, came to God and said, "Ribono shel olam, uma David haMelech Yisrael sheamar kama shirot utishpachot lefanecha lo asito Mashiach Chizkiya sheasita lo kol anesim alalu velo amar shira lefanecha taaseu Mashiach." Said midat adin before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, Master Yunus, I don't get it. And what if David, the king of Israel, who said many songs and praise before, we have a whole book of the Shirim of David, maybe not the whole of Tehillim, but at least until Perek Ayin Bet. Perek Ayin Bet, at the end it says, Kalu Tevilot David Ben Yishai. So at least the first 72 chapters are ascribed to David. He said all of these Shirim. And he didn't become the Mashiach. Chizkiyah, for whom you performed all of these miracles and did not say a song before you, you'll make him the Messiah. And we understand the end is that Chizkiyah did not become the Mashiach, didn't become the Messiah. We're still waiting for him, or her, or them, or it. Loda? Loda? The Devar Nifla. So I didn't understand. He made a song. He didn't sing a song. Yafeh, Halel, Yom Ha'atzmaut, Nechmad. But we just learned. If we learned the Psukim, we just learned the Pshat, the Psukim. I 100% understand what the Gemara means. It's not just that Chizkiyah had a little miracle in his life. He won a few wars and he didn't sing. He was the remnant in the field. He was the Sukkah Bekerim. His whole kingdom was about to fall. And who saved him? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what was the problem? He didn't sing about it. What does it mean, singing? We understand. If we understand the connection with David, he didn't say Hallel. He didn't praise God. He didn't get up and make a simcha. He didn't make a celebration. That's what Yeshayahu says. Chagechem saneh alai nafshi. Your celebrations, I hated. But what about a celebration for me? What about a sudat hoda'ah? What about a national day that we could come up, stand up and say, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That Chizkiyahu forgets. Ulo amal shira. Wow. Can you imagine what the Gemara is telling us? Oh, bidyuk what it's saying. Bidyuk pshat me'achuz of the Gemara. That's what it's saying. Belia, bemet, that's what it's a pshat, what it means. What's the idea? Chizkiyah forgets that it's God who does all of these. We're talking about cheshbon nefesh today. I hope that everybody here has a cheshbon bank. Cheshbon nefesh and cheshbon bank, the same thing. Cheshbon means a calculation. We usually translate cheshbon nefesh as introspection. I look inside. That's like what we should be doing every day at tefillah, is introspection. Cheshbon nefesh is something a little different. Cheshbon is not only introspection to look inside. What is cheshbon? Cheshbon is to do a calculation. We have a cheshbon bank, right? How do we do a cheshbon? Why is it called cheshbon? Because money goes in and money comes out. And at the end, so you have, if you can actually have a read and understand it, but in this, you get in your bank two lines, right? One is how much came in, and one is how much came out. And at the bottom, there's a number. Now, if more came in than came out, you have a number in black without a minus in front of it. That's the money that you have. If more came out than goes in, you have a number at the bottom, which is red with a minus in front of it. That means that you've overdrawn your account. All right? And if you haven't overdrawn your account in Israel, you're doing okay. I remember many years ago, I was working not here in another organization, and I came to the boss. I said, I was supposed to get paid on the 10th. It's now the 12th. I need to get paid. I said, I only have 17 shekels in my account. He said, you have 17 shekels in your account? You're doing better than most of the people here. So, kol beseder, mata doeg. That's cheshbon. Cheshbon is what comes in and what goes out. Cheshbon nefesh means the same thing. Cheshbon nefesh doesn't say to say how bad we are. You know, we're going to say in not so long, vidui. We're going to come and say, Achad shechatan lefanecha ba'ones uberatzon, Achad shechatan lefanecha beimutz halev, Achad shechatan lefanecha bevlidat, Achad shechatan lefanecha bevitui sfatayim. We're going to go through a long list, 44 sins that we've done. Aleph Bet twice, 44 sins that we've done. There's another time that we have vidui. Anybody remember the other time we do vidui? Before you die, there's a vidui that's a nicer vidui. Yafeh, there's vidui ma'asrot. Not vidukuim, but vidui ma'asrot. Vidui ma'asrot is you come and say, achalte mimenu, lo achalte mimenu ba'oni, v'lo nakate mimenu. You come to God and you say, you're supposed to bring the ma'asrot this and this way. That's what I did. I did exactly as I was told. That's called a vidui. There's a vidui to say what I'm not okay. There's another type of vidui, to turn to God and say what I am okay. When we do cheshbon nefesh, it's not enough to say what we're not okay. We have to come and say what we are okay in. When we do cheshbon nefesh, it's not enough to say what's bad. We have to also say what's good. Hezekiah didn't know how to do cheshbon nefesh. He didn't know how to introspect. He didn't know how to look at the good. He can only look at the bad. The bad's gone fine. He didn't look long term. That's what Yishael says to him. You only look short term. That Sarah's over. Okay, wait for the next Sarah. And I say that the newspaper here is like the parasha, like it's like the Torah. Every week there's a new parasha. Every week there's a new event. You know, you read the papers from Chutzlars, nothing ever happens. Here, every week something happens. We're worried, like, what's going to happen? The next thing, the next parasha. And if you're in a parasha, just wait, because tomorrow they'll have forgotten you. Your next parasha. We're short term. Yechizkiah doesn't know how to say Shira, because he forgets the long term. He doesn't know how to do that cheshbon nefesh. We, my friends, should not fall into the same sin of Hezekiah. We, my friends, should realize that when a miracle happens to us, we better stand up straight and say Shira. Says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the penultimate source. I'm sorry that I missed it in different order. The Gemara says, you know, you need to pray for the good of Jerusalem. You know, the custom is, it appears in the end of the Ilchot Tisha B'Av, to do a Zechel HaMikdash, to do something that reminds us of the temple, not only on Tisha B'Av or the 9 days, but the whole of our year. So it says that we don't eat all of our good dishes in one time. When's the only night of the year that we bring out all the good dishes? Is on Leil HaSeder, because Leil HaSeder, we're B'nai Cholim. A woman shouldn't wear all of her jewelry at the same time. I was thought about that the other day when I was learning this, that, you know, today that's almost impossible unless you have a lot of holes in your ear, because women usually have more than two or three earrings. So it's pretty impossible. But in the time maybe past, it wasn't so obvious. Maybe they didn't have earrings so much. So women shouldn't wear all the jewelry at one time. There's other things we should do. We should leave at the entrance to the house a square that we haven't plastered in order to remind us of the Mikdash. Says the Gemara, why do we have to do all these things? Listen to the Gemara. The Amar Krad is a pasuk from Yirmiyah. Ki e'ele arucha lach u'mimakotecha erpa'echa no'um Hashem. Ki nidche karu la tzion hi doresh ein la.
michlal de bay drisha.
The verse says, I will restore health for you, and I will heal you of your wounds, says God, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, that no man seeks after. For 2,000 years, where we're sitting today was desolate. It was no man's land. There's an irony in the keynote that we read this morning. It says that the Eretz Israel, it says in the keynote, were taken from us and given to the non-Jews. And what's the irony? They didn't use it. They left it desolate. They used it as a backwater, a way to get from the north down to the south, to get from Syria, it wasn't Syria then, to get from the north down to Egypt. It was a backyard of the empires of the world. And the whole country said, this is Zion? That's the place you want? That's the place you want to go back to? Can you imagine if we'd have been in the League of Nations, before it was called the United Nations, the League of Nations, in the beginning of the last century and said, we want to go back to Palestine? Why? Why would you want to go there? Why? There's nothing there. It's desolate. Nobody wants that place. They were arguing about who's willing to take it. Because we divide it up. Who wants it? Says the Gemara, Doresh Einla, no one wants Jerusalem. It's a backwater. Michlal de Bay Drisha. From here we learn that we should be the ones that look for it. How do we say in the Hallel that we say on Yom Ha'atzmaut? Even ma'asu habonim haita l'rosh pina. The stone that was rejected by everybody, we took it to be the cornerstone, the beginning, the best. That's the miracle of our generation. The miracle that many of you have lived through. That you saw before the state or the beginning of the state and the Six-Day War and after the Six-Day War and another war and another invasion and another attack and another threat, and we survive. Kesuka bekerem. Like a booth in the vineyard. Velono mal shira. Well, we can't praise God for that? Yeah. Someone here want to say something? Yes. Oh, Zenagia. Zenifla. He wanted me to wrap up. Anano chaverim. Zenifla. We're going to come to your point. We have to say Shira. Because Tisha B'Av today is not Tisha B'Av that it was 70 years ago. And not what it was 100 years ago. And not even what it was 50 years ago. This place wasn't available 50 years ago. Physically and emotionally and socially, what this stands for, the place that we're sitting in here in Pardes learning together, what didn't exist? Selomal Shira. I once had to write an article about Tisha B'Av. I was in England. I didn't have any time. The only time I had was on Yom Ha'atzmaut afternoon. The only time I had to write this thing, this preparation for Tisha B'Av. So I went to the now closed Jews College, to the library, and I was writing there. I was looking up some books. I was writing, and there was a guy there, the librarian, who later became my wife's uncle. He was always my wife's uncle. She wasn't my wife then. The legendary Ezra Khan, I don't know if anybody knows that name, but Bemet Adam Adir, Kadosh Baruch Hu, standing before Shlema, him to his wife, Bezrat Hashem. And he came to me and said, what are you doing? We knew each other. What are you doing? I said, I'm writing about Tisha B'Av. He said, you? Today? Tisha B'Av, ma? This Yom Ha'atzmaut? I said, forget, exact opposite. If we cannot understand Yom Ha'atzmaut today, we're missing the context of our Tisha B'Av. It's different today. It's different today. We can sit on a chair a little bit. We can hear a little bit of music. We can already start to smell and to feel and to sense the Shira that Chizkiyah forgot. So why are we comforted twice? Let's go back to the beginning. Niflat, Tada Rabba. Almost forgot. Actually, look, come on. Back to the beginning, Amon. Al Hagavoa Lilach Mevaseri Tzion. Harimi bekoach kolech mevaseret Yerushalayim. Harimi al tirai imri la'arei Yehuda hinei Eloheichem. The first mevaser, the first tidings come to say, the Mashiach is here. The Mashiach is here. Upo. He came. My wife was very upset yesterday So how will we know if the Mashiach came and we don't have to fast on Tisha B'Av? How will we know? Because it's Shabbat. How are they going to let us know? That's Sheila Yafa. You remember the story of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, his wife says to him, you know, Chaim, I'm going out. I've got a soup on the oven. And I want you to look after it. And I know you, that you're not unreliable. Because you're going to get into learning and you're going to forget it. But I really want you to notice, don't burn the soup. Okay. He's sitting learning. And he suddenly sees people running out the door. He hears the bird singing a new song. And suddenly it's more light than it was before. He asks somebody running around. He says, Tevye, what happened? He said, Rebbe, you didn't hear? The Mashiach came. Wow, the Mashiach came to Brisk. So he goes and he's going to change into a Shabbos finery. Then he remembers that the previous Shabbat, a button fell off his coat. And he didn't yet ask the Rebbetzin to fix the button. So he thinks, what's better? Is it brisket, b'cholof? Is it better to go out in the Shabbat cloak with missing a button? Or is it more mechubad to go out in a regular coat with all the buttons? And he's doing a shaket. I'm thinking that. His wife comes in, Chaim, I knew it, you burned the soup. And then he wakes up. He says it was a vivid dream. That's the mevaser. That's the mevaseret. Let's look at the next verse and then we'll close. Manavu al harim raglei mevaser mashmia shalom mevaser tov mashmia yeshua amar letzion malach elohai kol tzafayich nasu kol yachdav yeraneinu. Comes the mevaser to say, how beautiful, good news, pronounces peace, brings news, salvation, God reigns. And what will the watchman lift up his voice to say? Ki ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem Tzion. You'll see it eye to eye when God comes back to Tzion. The second mevaser comes to remind you to see it. The first mevaser, it tells you it's going to happen. The second mevaser says, open your eyes and see it. Ki ayin ba'ayin yiru. This is it. Hizkiah didn't say Shira because he couldn't see it ayin ba'ayin. We have the zchut and the merit and the kavod and the joy that we see it eye to eye. Bezrat Hashem, that if from this room comes the mevaser, comes the tidings that it's already here, that we just need to see it and say Shira and recognize how different our lives are than they were 70 years ago, then we will merit to see Ayin ba'ayin b'shuv Hashem Tzion. Bezrat Hashem, that you and I and all of us should see. We should recognize the need to say Shira, and we should merit to feel 100% the legs, the call, and the shofar of Mashiach, who tells us it's here and awakens us to see it. Toda rabah.